Kay Thompson live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I jumped the gun here. I was giving the intro, and I didn't get the cue to go on. Anyway, I'm Kay Thompson live, and welcome everyone to Kay Thompson live. We have a dynamite show for you this evening. We're going to be talking to a few people of very interesting stories, and we're also going to be talking to Wayne Gilman, who is the co-host. And Eric Payne is, I think he's on assignment right now, and he's going to be calling in, but Wayne Gilman is going to be calling in, and we are naturally going to be talking about the hot news. And the hot news, of course, is Trump. Have you ever heard of Dump the Trump? I mean, that should be catching on about this particular point, but you know, I'll tell you something, this guy is really, really dangerous. He is, I don't know what in the world is going on with him. The things that he says, the things that he does, I mean, he actually encourages violence. He encourages people to, you know, get upset. They are upset with the things he says. It's just a lot of racism and it's a lot of hate. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing that someone like him is, you know, running for the premier, the main office for the world's, you know, biggest country, most important country in the world, the United States of America. Here we have this nut, you know, running for the presidency, and it is absolutely incredible. How in the world is he doing it? Who is behind him? Well, there's not a lot of people behind him. It's amazing that this man, this Donald Trump, cannot keep his mouth closed. It's amazing. I think there's some sort of problem going on with him, as do a whole lot of other people. But we're going to be talking to people about it, and we're waiting for Wayne Gilman to call in because he's one of the co-hosts here on Kay Thompson Live. Also, we're going to be talking to Dallas Scott. Dallas is in Bermuda, and you know, we always have news coming in from Bermuda, and Dallas is getting ready to graduate from high school. And you know, his mother, Gina Payne Scott, my daughter, she has opened up her dancer-sized studio, and Dallas is a photographer, and he also wants to be a test pilot. So we're going to be having him call in, and we want to talk to him. Last week we did have a problem, but we're back on schedule. We're back on schedule here on Kay Thompson Live. It's Wednesday, and it is a little bit after 8 o'clock, waiting for Wayne Gilman to call in. Did call, talk to Mal Wolfler today. Mal had a lot of interesting things to talk about, a lot of interesting things going on in New Jersey. I want to get back to, you know, Donald Trump for just 1 minute because of the fact that the reason why this has become a story that's interesting is because one of the people who has joined the Trump, you know, brigade is our governor, Chris Christie. And what's happening is that, you know, there's a lot going on. He was with Donald Trump when Donald Trump was going into one of his tirades. And he was sitting there like he was a lost puppy. He didn't know what had hit him. But anyway, he's in trouble. I'm telling you, a top aide in Chris Christie's, his circle, you know, who played a role in shaping his image as a blunt, straight-talking politician. This is according to the Star Ledger in Newark, New Jersey, you know, cutting out of Newark. And he has been a blunt, very straight-talking politician. In other words, he's a hard nose. And what has happened is that one of his aides has cut off official ties with the governor. And this lady, Christie's former deputy chief of staff for communications and the longest-serving member of his senior staff, won't be rejoining the governor on his return to Trenton after working on his failed presidential bid. It has been confirmed by this young lady. Her name is Maria Comella. And this is in the Star Ledger out of New York. It's surprising to hear, but I kind of think that was due because of the fact that the stuff that was going down about the George Washington Bridge scandal, that was, you know, not resolved, really. I think it was something that was wiped over and that was hidden. And so she is one of three former presidential staffers who decided against returning to the State House. And they consider this a significant loss because she had an essential role in Christie's rise. And I'm talking about Governor Christie from New Jersey, as you all might know. She played a role in Christie's rise to national prominence in the Republican Party. And this has been in the New Jersey Star Ledger, of course. And the most recent disputes coupled with those who left at the start of his second term and in the fallout of the George Washington Bridge Lane closure scandal leaves Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie, without many of those who helped create his brand. I didn't really know he had a brand. But he's in trouble. It's unfortunate, but, you know, he is in trouble. We are going to be getting to, let's see, we have a call on the line. And we are going to be going to that call. Hello, you're on the line. Hello. You're on
the
line.
Hi, my name is Jay Henson, a.k.a. Jackie Coons from Clearwater, Florida, calling in.
Hi, how
yes.
are you?
Yes. Wonderful, and you?
Good, good. You're calling from Clearwater, Florida, right?
Clearwater, Florida.
And John Henson, can I say Jackie Coons? Former student.
You can say Jackie Coons.
Calling in from Clearwater, Florida. And Wayne Gilman is on the line, but I'm going to get to Wayne in just about 2 minutes. He's my co-host. And let me see, Jackie. This is absolutely great. Now, you have a dancer. We were talking about Gina, my daughter Gina in Bermuda, and she has set up your dance-a-side studio. And, that's like an offshoot, or not an offshoot, but she did it because of the fact that she had, studied, of course, at the Thompson Dance Studio years ago.
Absolutely, that's right.
Yeah. So congratulations on your studio. What's the name of it? And tell us about it.
Well, I have a 501c3 in Clearwater, Florida, entitled Arts for Life Academy. And
what is the name of it again?
Arts
What's the name
for
of it
Life
again?
Academy. Arts for Life Academy. Spelled A-R-T-Z. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just get Wayne Gilman in on this conversation. Wayne, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, I am. Good evening, Kay and company.
Good evening.
Hello, Wayne Gilman.
How's everyone?
Wonderful.
That's good to hear.
Jackie, will you please tell Wayne who you are again? Wayne,
hi,
what
Wayne.
Am I talking about?
Hi, Jackie.
I'm a former Jerseyan, graduate of the Thompson Dance Studio down here in Clearwater, Florida. Been down here for 25 years, and I started a youth organization called Arts for Life Academy. It's a 501c3 nonprofit grassroots organization, and we use cultural and performing arts to enhance education, promote diversity, and develop life skills to help our children acquire resiliency to life's challenges. So we've been in existence down here 25 years and helping our youngsters pave a way to brighter futures and become inspired to do wonderful things.
Congratulations. Yeah. It seems like everyone attended Kay's dance school but me.
That's right, everyone. And, Kay and Pat, they pioneered an incredible studio. I think they were the first African-American studio in New Jersey, and it changed my life, and many of the things that I do now are a result of all of the work and effort and time that they put into the community youth, and it was an incredible thing, and it changed my life forever. And so, we all stand on the shoulders of those that have come before, and as a result, I'm sharing what was shared with me with our children in the Florida area.
Now,
congratulations. I think that should continue, really.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wayne, when are you going to Florida to take some classes?
Is she married? I'm sorry.
No,
I shouldn't have asked.
I'm married.
I'm sorry.
She's been knowing.
I don't know. I can barely get... Beg your pardon?
In December, we have this incredible production called The Family Blessing, and we recruit about 200 to 300 youngsters, and for 12 weeks, we train them in various genres of dance, ballet, modern, hip-hop, tap, African, Brazilian, cultural, and we bring choreographers from around the country, professional choreographers. We put them in a professional studio, a performing arts venue, and we dress them up with backdrops, and their parents don't even recognize them. But December 17th, we're doing it this year. And if you want to get out of the cold and the snow, come down to Florida, wear your T-shirts and jeans, and lay down on the beach and stay in luxurious hotels. And right across the street is the theater. We have an incredible time down here in December.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds very inviting, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to the airport and come on down there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
I may not come back.
Oh, that's right, you may not. Hey, I came down here 25 years ago to visit, and when I went back to Jersey, it was snowing and ice. I packed my stuff. I said, I'm out. I've been here ever since. That's right, so watch out.
I know the feeling.
And how you have the studio for how long, Jackie? I missed that. How long?
25 years I've been down.
25 years. Now, are you having concerts at the end of the school year or what?
Yes, we have concerts. We have community productions to kind of showcase the youngsters and what they've learned. And, you know, because it's an after-school program, we incorporate the science, technology, engineering, and math, robotics and 3D printing. And so we just try to give them a gamut of skills that they're going to need as they go on in the future. So we have the year-round after-school program, and then we have the Arts Exploration Summer Camp, where we just expose them to all kinds of things, whether it's music theory, writing notation, videography, studio engineering. So we just try to expose them to as many concepts in the arts as possible, because you never know what's going to stick. And when we were coming up, you know, our parents used to send us to place and say, hey, you're going to learn this, how to play the violin. You're going to take this music class. And so we were exposed to a lot of things. And, you know, afterwards you would say, you never know what your talent show through is going to be. So I remember having that experience, because when my grandmother told me I was going to take ballet, I did not even know what it was. I said, what is ballet? And she took me to the school, and I tell you, I just fell in love with it. And, you know, it was a tipping point for me, you know, coming up and growing up, because it set me apart from all of the other youngsters. And it was the one thing that I was able to go back to for the rest of my life.
Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Really, really great. Now, Jackie, how can people, you know, travel to Florida a lot, and a lot of people come to Clearwater. So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can, if you go on our website, Arts for Life Academy, spelled ARTZ, the number 4, and the word Life Academy.
Let's do that so slowly again. Arts to Life, how do you spell that?
ARTZ, the number 4, Arts for Life Academy, and .com, and so our address is there, where our community center is, and we have our phone number and emails, and so they can get in touch with us and look at some of the different activities and things we're doing. 727-216-3519.
3519. Now, people who are listening in, please get a pencil ready, because I know this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for you, for those of you going to Florida, and a lot of people going to Clearwater. I've never been to Clearwater, although I've been to a couple of places in Florida. Love it. Let me just let people know exactly what it is. Arts is spelled ARTZ for Life Academy. And Jackie, her phone number is 727, everyone, 216-3519. So that's ARTS, A-R-T as in Tom, Z, for Life Academy. It's in Clearwater, Florida. And the number is 727-216-3519. Now, those of you going to Florida, those of you going to Clearwater, that's your opportunity to go there and take some classes and get yourself some good exercise while you're laying out there on the beach.
Absolutely. That's right. You come in, you take all kinds of classes, and we have our drummers in here, and they'll get you moving and jumping around, and oh, my goodness, they'll have you doing things you didn't know you could do.
That sounds like the Thompson Dance Studio.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's where I got it from.
Listen, thank you so much. Now, I call you Jackie, but it's Jai, J-A-I, right? Henson.
Yes,
now,
it's actually just like en français, Jay Henson. So when you come down here, you ask for Jay Henson. They say, oh, yeah, she, you hear those drums? Yeah, it's right over there. That's where she is.
I'm so glad to see you, Gina, to talk to you. Talk to you, you know, when I recognize your name. Because each time I was seeing your name come up, I said, now, this might be somebody I know. And I did. I'm so glad, you know, that we're getting together after all these years. Congratulations, lady.
Well,
and
thank
we're
you
have
so
you
much.
Again. I'm going to have you on again
yes.
and again to make sure that people keep your name in mind when they're traveling to Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, absolutely. Anywhere in Central Florida, you come on down and you'll have a wonderful time. We are here dancing and enjoying life 24
okay.
hours a day, 365, and so you can come on down and have a wonderful time.
Including the beach.
That's great.
Thanks, Jackie.
All right, thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice talking to you too, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Jackie. All the best to you.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, great. So one of my students from long ago, Jai Henson, is the name, and we know her as Jackie. And the name of her dance studio, which she was singing, is Arts for Life. That's spelled A-R-T-Z, for Life Academy, and she's located in Clearwater, Florida. So those of you who are going to Florida, especially into Clearwater, stop by and say hello and tell her that you heard her on Kay Thompson Live. And she is an excellent teacher because she was an excellent student. You know, and she was very, very accomplished. So I'm dying to get down there and see her. Now, Wayne, let's get to the debates and, you know, the mess with the politics. Dump the Trump. Come on, what's going on?
I tell you, I mean, there's so much happening with that. I'm glad that the race seems to be narrowing to a certain extent, but I'm still amazed at the amount of attention Donald Trump is able to garner. You know, I'm just shocked that people like Governor Christie, the doctor who ran was competing against him, Carson, and all these other Republicans who've come out and shown their support for Donald Trump. It's astounding. And, I just don't know. I don't see it ending. I see him as the nominee, and I really think all this talk about a floor fight at the Republican convention may just be nothing more but talk. I think this is a new direction for the party. And I think to a certain extent, if the party is to regroup and try to go back to what would be considered normal, the damage is already done. You know, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that if he should succeed as president, God help the United States of America. That's my personal opinion. I'm just taken back by it all.
Did you hear my opening story about Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie?
No, I'm sorry. I tuned in a little late.
Yeah, he's been absent frequently because, of course, he was traveling around with Trump. With Trump and with Donald Trump. And what had happened was that an aide who had played a real important role, I guess, in shaping his image as this, and I'm getting this from the Star Ledger, image as a blunt, straight-talking politician, which helped propel him to the national and political stage, and the presidential campaign has cut official ties with the governor. Okay? And that's an favor. And she was a former deputy chief of staff for communications and a longest serving member of his senior staff. And she won't rejoin the governor's return. She's not going to rejoin the governor's return to Trenton after working on his failed presidential bid. Now, a lot of people know the governor, Chris Christie, as you know, the George Washington Bridge closure scandal. And it leaves him without many of those who had helped him do something, or they said create a brand, but I don't know what you're talking about that. But how about that?
I tell you, I'm not surprised. I heard something on the air the other day. I think it's the mayor of Jersey City, New Jersey. I could be mistaken, but I think this individual has launched a campaign to dump, you know, to tell Christie to resign. You know, it's just one of those things. It's so apparent to everybody. And I think he's, as far as his political career is concerned, it's toast. You know, I don't see where he would be going anywhere with Trump, and from all indications, I want to believe that once Americans in November head to the polls, that civility, common sense will prevail in this country, and that there will be, you know, I just really feel the need for the kind of energy that came out for Obama in 2008 will have to come out for the Democrats in 2016. It's got to be that kind of fight, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping it stays that way.
Yeah. This is so unusual, I mean, because the fact that for someone who is, you know, going to, you know, want to be the president of the most important, the most powerful country, you know, in the entire world, on the globe, on the planet, you know, for him to be so abusive. I mean, he sounds like
He sounds like a dictator. He sounds like a tyrant.
Yeah.
And he lacks the finesse to hold that position.
You remember the word Nazi?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and,
right.
And during that
exactly.
particular time, what the Nazis were doing to people, that's what he sounds like.
Yeah.
It's amazing to hear someone like that. And it really sounds like he is, you know, not quite all there. Because I've heard that he does not remember what he says.
You try so hard not to get into character assassination, but he's left himself so vulnerable to this thing. And I mean, the Democrats, the Democratic candidates, Sanders and Clinton, you know, have only gone but so far in terms of turning the heat up on Trump. But I can't wait till we get to the point where that contest is decided and that the standard bearer will just, you know, focus on just exposing this man for who he is and what he's about. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a constituency out there that would like to see him succeed, but I'd like to think that's still a minority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
A minority. Yeah, but it doesn't sound like a minority, though, Wayne, really.
That's the scary part.
A whole heck of a lot of people, and it's scary. But, you know, you know good and well that a lot of black people in this country are not going to be dealing with that, not going to be taking that. And what he's going to be doing is starting the biggest riots. It's amazing.
I don't even know what to say
about him because it's such an emotional thing to hear the kinds of things that he's saying. You know, and what does he say? What does he hope to gain by this? You see all these people demonstrating and coming up and fighting there, and then he tells someone to, you know, get him out of here, you know, beat him up, throw him out. And then he says, don't worry, I'll cover your legal fees. Now he's saying that he's not going to, you know, cover anybody's legal fees.
That's
you know?
The thing that really, I mean, whether he could cover it or not is irrelevant. I mean, the fact that the GOP leadership has had to talk to him and tell him to tone his rhetoric down, you know, speaks volumes for, that's the thing, you know, he'll act you see, that's the problem where I feel that, you know, Americans have got to realize that this man acts on impulse. He doesn't think about what he's saying. He'll just come out and say it, and then maybe hours later, after reviewing what he said, he'll turn around and try to change his analysis. I firmly believe that's not by design. I think this is the man's character, period. You know? It's just sad.
I just think he's off center. He's off kilter or something. There's something wrong there. And for people to, you know, rev up his feelings about himself with all this nonsense, with believing this racism that's coming out of his mouth, and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. I mean, it's incredible. He's really very dangerous. Let's face it. But there are a lot of people out there that are not really going to be taking that. And I hate to think what's going to be happening, you know. So, but I don't even know what to say about it. It's really annoying. At the same time, being annoying, it's upsetting because you know you know what can possibly happen as a result. In other words, there could be a lot of race riots in this country. Okay.
Well, and, I see the beginning of it now because you're right, Kay. I mean, I don't see. You know, there was a time when we would just hold back and refrain from, you know, engaging in that kind of activity. I mean, other than what happened during the civil rights period, I mean, there was a lot of protests, a lot of marching, and things like that. But now, you know, there's a different society out here today that lacks the tolerance for that kind of behavior, is well aware and equipped of the historical struggles that we've gone through as a people.
Yeah.
And they're not tolerating this nonsense anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in one breath, I'm glad that this is, you know, surfacing, but I would hate to see people die in the process of trying to, you know, right or wrong and things of that nature. But the bottom line is, you know, as the old saying goes, some must die that others so others may live. I would hate to think that it comes down to that, but I mean, in this case with Trump, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get him to just come to his senses, and particularly with each win, he feels emboldened, he feels empowered. Even when you listen to his speech last night, his victory presentation, you know, everything, there was no structure to it. You know, I mean, it was just the same old rhetoric, same old condemnation. I mean, he barely said anything commendable about his opponent who he defeated in Florida, Rubio there, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's just like there's no polished style political class about him. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing that I just find so, you know, disturbing, to see, you know, where it's going and to see what this country's come to. But it says a lot because the world is watching and they see what's going on. And a lot of the diplomats have come out in other countries and they've consulted with people in the United States government, including the president, about what will happen once his term is over. So, you know, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I hope it happens soon. That it's
I hope
over.
So, too.
No, when I say over with him. Over with just him disappearing some kind of way. Or people getting, you know, just people getting their senses back and realizing exactly the extent of, you know, what his message is doing to the country. But, you know, before we go on, you know, I'm expecting a call in from Dallas Scott from Bermuda because the fact that he is a photographer. And this is my grandson, and he's a photographer. He is absolutely wonderful, and I wanted to hear him talk and tell people about it, especially because of the fact that he is Gina Payne, Scott's son. And she has just opened, you know, Dancercise, and I told you about that. That's why I have Jackie on, because we are talking about, you know, physical dance and, you know, physical movements and whatnot. And Dallas is a photographer that's absolutely wonderful, wanting to talk about that. And he wants to be a test pilot.
Oh. He has a lot of plans. That's a good one.
Yeah, right. But anyway, we're waiting for him to call in also, so he may be waiting for a cue. But let's get back to what's happening. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you, too. Here, you know, this scare about water, about lead in water, and about...
Newark, yeah.
Well, yes, right. I'm looking at this.
I know they're saying that it's because of the infrastructure decaying, but do you believe that's the case, or...?
I don't know. That's what Ras is saying. You know, the mayor, Ras Baraka, who is the son of Mary Baraka, you know, famous writer, poet, and the poet laureate of the state, you know, until, you know, the guy who couldn't decide what he wanted to be, you know, kicked him out. But that's another story. We're going to deal with that another time. But, Ras is, you know, up on things. And it's schools water found to have elevated lead. And it's in some 30 school district buildings in Newark. And they are using all alternate water sources. And they found that the tests have shown that there was elevated levels of lead in the school's drinking water. So the Department of Environmental Protection officials announced on Wednesday at a joint release with the New York Public Schools that this is what was happening. But what is happening with the water in the country? You know?
Good question.
This is really scary. You know, when the kids having taught school, you know, for a period of time, I can't even fathom the thought of kids drinking water that has something in the water to hurt them, okay, to cause them great physical harm. And this is quite a story that, you know, really, really hits home. You know, because you have your children, you send them to school, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have something that can't be controlled or is being looked at and trying to control. There's lead in the water. Oh, boy. So I don't know.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
Because, I mean, after the discovery in Flint, and thank God that has gotten the attention that it deserves, you know, I mean, the deal is that you stop to think about what goes on in the rest of the country. I know New York has always been touted as having some of the best drinking water in the country, but,
yeah,
you know, our infrastructure is just as old and aged as Newark and anywhere else that's been around for a while. You know, I mean, the deal is you frequently have these water main breaks. You see a lot of that going on in Jersey as well, in Jersey City and Hoboken. That's what I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
of, and Manhattan. You know, I mean, we're basically trying to rebuild a society that has left, or a civilization basically that dates back well over 100 years, and
mm-hmm.
trying to rebuild it takes time, takes money. And, you know, the deal is that many political administrations that may have the ability to do something would rather pass the buck as opposed to making the ultimate sacrifice to see that
yeah.
changes are made. But the,
mm-hmm.
the sad part about it is that if you're not aware of what's going on, if you're in an information vacuum, it's a problem, you know.
Yeah.
And I think clearly that's what's happened you know, in Newark. I mean, it certainly happened in Flint, even though there were many people out there blowing the whistle on the governor. But, that man needs to step down. He needs to resign because he was well aware of what was going on. And he's not a scientist. He's not even a political scientist. You know, I mean,
yeah.
how dare he, you know, allow this thing to prevail so far and so long that it has caused physical damage to a lot of the young people who are living there. And a lot of credit to I was about to call his father's name, Ross Baraka.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That you know, it's to his credit that at least they were aware to they were able to get this information early and do
yeah,
something about yeah. it. But it's still
mm-hmm.
scary to think, you know, this is what you're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really, you know, really scary. You send your child to school and you think that they're going to be perfectly safe and you have the right to demand that. It's always been that the children are, you know, they come first in school.
Right.
And then you find out that, and I'm not saying that people have caused this, you know, on purpose or something. But it does have to be, you know, checked. And I'm quite sure they're checked every now and then, of course, when they're supposed to. But the point is, it's there and it has to be dealt with. And thanks to Dress, I'm telling you that he's on it. He's on
yeah.
it. So we're keeping people up to date with what's going on, you know, in Newark, you know. So, wow. That's really something. Also, I want to, you know, talk about, just mention another thing, you know, that Whitney Houston's mother, Cece, you know, Cece Houston.
Yeah,
you know, she,
right.
Yeah, Academy of, what's the name of the Academy, Lisa? Where is it? It's the Cece Houston Academy for Performing Arts, I think, or something similar to that. But we did a story on that, I think, last week and the week before. And,
right.
people. I know the kids want to find out about that. It's in Newark, Susie Houston Academy of the Arts, I think. And since I don't have information in front of me, if they people, you know, turn to or go back to last week's show or the week before, they will find out information, you know, that we have that gives them all the information that they need. Or they can, you know, go online and everything is in the newspaper about it. There's a lot going on in Newark. There's so many different film festivals going on. There's also the Women's Film Festival going on with Henrietta Parker at the helm. So downtown Newark. There's also the International Film Festival going
film
on.
Film Festival, right, right. Yeah, I remember you had him on as a guest not long ago. Right. And when is that taking place again?
The International, it's ongoing. Well, it's revving up now, and it's being organized now, and there's a lot of people who are, you know, coming into town, you know, and really submitting, you know, what they have to submit. And as a matter of fact, people can go on, you know, the Internet and find out more information, you know, about the film festivals, you know, in Newark, the International Film Festival, the Women's Film Festival, and that's Henrietta Parker's organization, that they're having the Women's Film Festival, which is separate. And there's so much going on. I have to give it to Newark and New Jersey. People who haven't traveled to Newark, if you've ever traveled to Newark, 10 years ago versus now, what, a few years ago, you wouldn't recognize downtown Newark. Downtown Newark has begun to look like a much more sophisticated city, beautiful. Yes, and Manhattan, a lot of people, a lot of colleges downtown Newark, and as a matter of fact, Newark has been called the center of higher education in the state of New Jersey, especially downtown Newark area. So so many things going on. So, and then, but, you know, I also called to talk to Bill Katz, you know.
Dr. Katz, yeah.
And, you know, he's author of so many different books on African-American history, especially I've recommended to people that they get his Eyewitness by William Loren Katz. And he was the one who let people know about Black Indians. Now, some of us have known about it for years, would you believe? And he wrote about that, and it's a very impressive book. As a matter of fact, I think I loaned one book. I'm looking at my library right now. I think I loaned one of the books, you know, to one of my kids or something. So we'll have to get another one. But anyway, I recommend him as an author. So what else is going on in the world that we should talk about other than the debates? So we should really please get back to the debates.
I feel that a lot of the issues now will be coming. I mean, the debates should focus on the issues as opposed to the assassination attempts that have been gone on, you know, particularly the Republican debates, you know, and even the Democrats have engaged in a little bit of that, you know, verbal swiping at each other and things like that, which is, to a certain extent, it's expected, but at the same time, you know, I just think that, you know, it's a level of decadence that we need not even entertain in this country. There's so many different things that we have to worry about. We're still in the throes of the problems of unemployment. We're still concerned about the economy and the threat that we could go back into another recession. Today, there was talk of perhaps, you know, raising the interest rate so that because the economy is doing a little better. And that decision was decided, a decision was made that it was still premature to do that because not all the sectors in the economy are working properly. So, you know, I mean, the thing is, it was good news for Wall Street, but you kind of wonder how long is it going to take for us to get out of the damage that started back in 2008 and beyond that, you know? I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's much to Barack Obama's credit that he's been able to bring us this far. But it still goes to show there's so much more to do, you know. Go ahead.
Mentioning, you know, Barack Obama, you know, his choice, he had to, you know, choose someone you know, to put on the Supreme Court, and he's getting flack behind because of that.
Merrick Garnard, I believe his name is, he's a Washington, D.C. Judge, and he's had a tremendous record. The administration has vetted him out thoroughly, you know, where he has gotten all sorts of praise from Republicans and Democrats alike. In fact, there was talk of him perhaps getting the last nomination before Barack Obama appointed the first Latina to the high court, you know. And the deal is that the Republicans are going to start trying to drag their feet. I thought the man made a wonderful, a heartfelt acceptance speech this afternoon when I saw him on TV. I mean, you could just tell this person is real. He's not. It's not like as if, you know, he's putting on an act. You know, he talked about his history, talked about his family, talked about the things that he's done in the course of his career in jurisprudence, and you know, to see talk already from the other side that he's not worthy. I just hope that that's just standard fare because it goes on all the time. There's always bickering. No one is ever good enough until a decision is made to appoint them. And I just hope that whatever's coming up now, there's so much at stake, but I know the Republicans, to a certain extent, are going to make this nominee you know, sit on the hot seat for a while before they actually make a decision. But I think this man is a definite shoo-in. I think Barack Obama clearly took his time to get the right person that he felt most comfortable with, and I think he went about it the right way. I mean, there was all sorts of talk about other people under consideration. Loretta Lynch is one of them, the Attorney General, and she withdrew her nomination from consideration for the job, and others, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have this announcement today. And I think, you know, I think Obama hit one out of the park, in my opinion. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, he is always going to be, you know, criticized. If it's not for one thing, it's another. And the only reason why he's being criticized is because he is an African-American. Okay, no, he wasn't born in Africa. He was born in, where was he born? In Hawaii?
Hawaii, yes.
It is so stupid of people.
It is.
Some white people, honest to God, they're dumb.
Yeah, that says a lot about us, you know, I mean. You know, the same way Trump made an issue out of Cruz being a Canadian person, someone who was born in Canada, but obviously has the ability to run because one of his parents was an American. You know, it's the same situation with Obama. But, you know, he raised it. It's like he's like a bully, you know. He's like the kid that you would see in school and engage in all sorts of bully tactics to make himself feel like he's important and victimize somebody who can't handle it.
Yeah. You know, with Trump, you know, every time I see him, I want to get violent. That's the television.
You may welcome that.
But it's noting him. It's hurting my own television, you know. But, you know, you just want to go smack him in the mouth or something.
I know.
He makes you think of violence.
Yeah. And I was looking at him good today. You know, he doesn't look healthy to me at all. I mean, it's one thing to talk about his about his mental capacity. But, I mean, if you look at him good, you know, homeboy's put on a lot of weight. I don't know what he does with his face, but he's beginning to get a little darker. I don't know if you've noticed. I don't think it's sunburn either, you know.
No, but I thought it was orange.
Yeah. No, it's his hair that suddenly turned orange, you know. I don't know what to say about that, you know. But maybe he's gone to one of them Dominican salons to get the, you know, that dye in his head. You know, it's just it's crazy. You know, he's looking old. Even when he stands next to his wife, you know, he looks like he's a has been. And you know, and maybe Rubio was right about the finger business, but I don't want to engage in that, Kay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. He goes back to another time where those soldiers are picking up their legs and marching, you know. Anyway. Listen, there's another thing. There is a newspaper. Is it a newspaper or is it on the internet? I'm not sure which. It's called the Newark Times.
Ah.
So it's online. Mm-hmm. The Newark Times. I'm waiting to hear from, before I go on, I'm waiting to hear from Dallas Scott from Bermuda. Let's see, have you call in. If you can't do it today, we are going to be doing it next week. But, you know, he's a fascinating story about the photography, and I really want to talk about that. And
yes, he's my grandson,
and yes, I'm going to be talking about him. But if I don't get him tonight, you know, I'm going to get him next week. But anyway, the New York Times, the 2016 Lincoln Park Music Festival kicks off with Music Speaks. Now, Lincoln Park is downtown Newark, and it's in honor of Newark's 350th anniversary celebration. Okay,
oh.
Now this is under Ras Baraka. Now, it's at the anniversary celebration at Lincoln Park Coast Cultural District's program, Music Speaks, relaunched this past Tuesday as the official kickoff event of the 2016 Lincoln Park Music Festival. And it's in honor of Newark's 350th anniversary celebration, and Music Speaks is part of it, and it's launched this past Tuesday. I want to get more information of this. But it's a whole lot going on down there, downtown Newark, because they are celebrating, you know, being in existence, what, 350, you know, years?
Wow.
Is that,
that long.
Yeah. So it's old. It's one of the oldest cities, you know, in the state of New Jersey, I understand. It's not the oldest. So, and it looks like it's a lot of, you know, really construction going on downtown Newark. It's about time, because a lot of it, you know, was looking pretty big. You have the New Jersey Performing Arts Center down there, which is a fantastic building with all kinds of great entertainment, great jazz. BGO is down there. Prudential, the Prudential building is down there. I think I missed this. Did I miss the circus, Lisa? Don't go to me. I love the circus. You know,
well, all you have to do is watch the Republican debates. I mean, that's enough circus. I tell you, to be honest with you, you know. But
ouch.
You know what I wanted to find out, Kay? I mean, not to. I didn't mean to go off topic, but I did hear something about casinos coming to Northern Jersey, and there was some big debate about that. Are you familiar with that? Casinos or gambling. In other words, getting the gambling out of Atlantic City.
At the Meadowlands.
Yeah, right.
I heard that. Yeah, sure. Because that used to be a place of gambling. Yes, listen, I used to gamble. Yes, I did.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. You remember, you know, this show was originally Kay and Gus, right? Okay.
Right.
So we used to go out there to Pegasus. And it was the racetrack. I think the racing is the racing going on? Yeah, I think the racing may be going on again, but that was a major thing, you know, to the horse racing. That was a major, major thing.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
And he's telling me, yes, it's on again, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's been on for some while. Yeah, it really never went away. But, you know, you could gamble and you could, you know, bet on the horses. And I'll tell you another thing. There's a doctor in... we're South Orange, good friend of ours, Dr. James Lee, and he had a winning horse, and the horse's name was Photomaker, and he was a wonderful-looking horse, and I was always crazy about horses. And he, I don't know how many times he won at the you know, the racetrack there at you know, in Secaucus, or that was that part of Secaucus? Yeah, you know, at the Meadowlands. But yeah, it's up and running again. I understand. So.
And they were supposed to make some sort of amusement park in that. I know they were dismantling that edifice that looked like Who Did It and Ran. I can't can't think of the name. You know, with the multicolored building. You know, I haven't been along that side of the turnpike in a while to say that it's still standing, but I know that they were supposed to take that apart and build some state of the art, something that no one in this country, particularly on the East Coast, has seen in terms of amusement in that area there. And I don't know what's become of that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't. You know, I can't think of the building that you're thinking of. But the potential center, you know, with the basketball games, you know, and the circus and, you know, all kinds of, you know, performances, you know, that's really a huge building and a very successful, you know, endeavor there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. Boy, oh, and I want to mention, too, there is a school that has been dedicated to Congressman Donald Payne. Yes, Senior.
Oh, very good.
And, Donald Payne, Senior. My brother-in-law, and I'm looking at a picture, and Lisa just showed me a picture of what this school it's a technical school, she was telling me, and it's a technical school in Newark, and it says this is what it's going to look like in 2018, and it's to expect 1,100 Essex County students in a state-of-the-art 21st century facility. It looks absolutely great. And it's going to be downtown Newark. Let me see a little bit. You know, these Essex County. Yeah, right. Look at this.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm for information. You know.
And what is that? Is there a presentation already? Or?
Is it what?
Has there been a presentation made already, or is it about to happen?
Yeah,
the renaming of the school. Yeah.
The groundbreaking was yesterday, yes.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so members of the family were there, you know, so.
Right.
So,
wow.
Anyway, Newark
is... Oh, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, so.
And anyway. I can't say it's as exciting on this side of the river. Tell you that much. You know, there's always well, one thing that we were concerned about.
It's always exciting in the city.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you wanted to have your neck slashed and hear the mayor talk about all sorts of problems that he's facing with his administration. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I think this mayor is doing a commendable job, and it's just unfortunate that he doesn't have the support, and not many mayors have had the support of the PBA, the Police Benevolent Association, the union.
Yeah.
And there is a perception because of the spike in crime that even the cops now are going around. They did this unofficial poll saying that the police no longer feel safe and even doing their daily duties as you know, civil servants to protect those in the city. And, you know, they're placing this burden on the lap of the mayor. And,
yeah.
And the thing is, I think it's all to deal with the fact that these guys want a new contract, they want more money, and you know, maybe we need to have what happened with Chris Christie the other day in the transport workers union there in Jersey, you know, because they seem to be quite content with the settlement that they got. I knew that they were looking for parity with the unions here in New York, and I think what Christie gave the transit workers 5 years an increase, and that there's no discussion of raising the transit fare. I mean, I'm not saying that he single-handedly did that, but the bottom line is that his involvement was demanded at the end in order to bring some conclusion to the impending threat of a strike. And you know, that's about the only thing I could say that he's done recently.
He's in that official position, so he's supposed to be doing it.
He was doing his job for a change instead of running around the country for Trump. But
being involved, looking at Trump like he's in love with him, you know? And then look
at
the
face. Can't believe it.
He sat there and looked at him like, oh, my God, he's in my spot. But I think he killed his spot in politics.
Yeah, oh, he did. He knows that. He is well aware of that.
Yeah. But, you know, Lisa just gave me this, the Newark International Film Festival. Now, it says here in this article, mark your calendars, Newark International Film Festival, September 9th through the 11th, 2016. And then you have so many different participating organizations and areas of it, the Film Festival in Newark. Jersey Strong International Director, Filmography, Short Films, Filmmaking. Boy, so much stuff, I'm telling you, so that the people can be, you know, people who are interested in making film, have films, which I have. You know, we have the interview that I did with Rosa Parks that time. Remember that?
Right. Yes.
I also have the
interview
that I do with Dr. Van Sertimer, Dr. Mm-hmm. Clark, and who was there before? Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Van Sertimer, and Dr. Ben. So
right.
That was, and a lot of things, you know. So, you know, so many things that, you know, when we were in WLIP, we were doing a whole heck of a lot. You know,
I tell you, I mean,
and it was under you. It was under you because you were the news director.
Well, is, I'm grateful for some of the things that we were able to do. It's just a pity that there is a new crop of journalists coming out of schools. And you know, I mean, I know that the media has changed. I realize that, you know, that we have the social media, you know, thrusted upon us. But there's still a need for places like a WLIB back then. You know, compared to what it is now, you know. And obviously it's under new ownership, and they have a right to program their property any way they see fit. But it's just the loss of that legacy, and it's just one of those things. I mean, it's unfortunate. We, for some reason, seem to, and I've often heard this with respect to music, that black folk in this country seem to be of what is happening at the very moment it's happening. You know, in other words, we're not ones necessarily to pay a lot of homage to those people who came before us and acknowledge, you know, I don't know why it's like that. I mean, I very often remember I used to have discussions with some of the jocks on the air back in the day on the FM side about why is it that a Frank Sinatra or some, you know, talented, multi-layered, multicultured white artist could fill an arena in Madison Square Garden or Radio City Music Hall or the Prudential Center, and yet, you know, somebody of comparable age in the black community will not get the kind of black support. There'll be whites that will turn out in great numbers for something like that. But, you know, that's a whole other discussion by itself, and it really hasn't changed. The only time that we come out, you know, especially for the hip-hop, you know, people of this generation, and somehow they'll find the money to support that, but
Wayne,
I don't know. It's something we have to work on.
Wayne, listen, I have about 90 seconds, but I would want to say this, that Lisa just gave me this. It says, here's a little known fact. New Jersey has more cherry trees than Washington, D.C., and every spring residents have been visitors of life can see the largest cherry blossom collection in the United States. Branch Brook Park, that runs through Belleville and Newark, has more than 2,700 Japanese cherry blossom trees that burst into full bloom during the annual Cherry Blossom Festival, usually in April, features various events for visitors of all ages. The festival is just one of many events in New Jersey that showcases the natural beauty of the state. So we're coming to the end of our show today, tonight. Wayne Gilman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kay Thompson.
Lisa,
and Lisa.
Lisa's right here.
Props to
and
Lisa.
Then Eric is he's on assignment, and he will be back next week, and we have a lot more to tell you next week. As a matter of fact, so much more. Okay?
Right. All the best, Kay.
All the best to you, Duane. Thank you, everyone. We have just about 15 seconds. Kay Thompson here. Thanks to Duane Gilman, Eric Payne, Lisa Payne, Gina Payne, whole family. We'll be talking to Dallas next week. Kay Thompson Live.
Take
good
care.
Night. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lee. I need music on here.